The Mask of the Living Dead, based on The Mask of the Red Death by Edgar Allan Poe. Acted by Phil MacArthur, Danielle Burke, Linda Zandi, Brad Martin, John Tanner, and Linda Wiley.
This is Kit Litterbox reporting for station KZBY. The city of angels has come to resemble the depths of hell. An evolving strain of H1N1 virus, the Solarium zombie virus, has contaminated the city of Los Angeles and its surrounding communities. At this point, it is believed that the virus was released sometime Sunday by a member of an Al-Qaeda terrorist cell that has infiltrated the Los Angeles Center for Disease Control. As a precaution, local authorities have requested our network to inform the community that this area has been quarantined. All routes out of the region have been barricaded by the United States Army to prevent the virus from spreading beyond its epicenter. Do not, I repeat, do not attempt to flee the region. Soldiers have been instructed to shoot and kill any and all individuals attempting to do so on site. At this time, we must recommend that our viewers remain in their homes and wait until this matter is resolved.
Oh, darling, we must hurry home. We can shop for entertainment center upgrades online. Rodeo Drive is going to be a mess if we don't hurry. It's only a matter of time until the rest of the strip catches wind of this catastrophe. Besides, we still need to make a quick stop by the Lacoste outlet for that tennis apparel you promised me.
You must be joking. Do you not understand the gravity of our situation? I agree that we must leave here immediately, but your outfits are going to have to wait.
But you promised me those outfits weeks ago, yet we're here. All so you can get the bigger television to watch your precious Oakland Raiders, who play like they haven't had a breath of life in them since John Gruden left for Tampa in 2002.
I know, right? Will Al Davis ever die? If I must wait to purchase my larger television, then you must also wait for your precious tennis wardrobe.
Very well. Lackey, fetch our Bentley. Did you not hear me? Lackey, fetch our automobile. Oh, Richard! We must upgrade this android. Lackey pays absolutely no attention to me.
Do as she asks, Lackey.
Yes, master.
Oh, Richard, how am I ever going to be able to update my tennis wardrobe with these dreadful zombies roaming about?
Vanessa, my darling, I think it best that we do as instructed and return home to wait out this mess. I know exactly what will cheer you up. Why don't we wait out these heathens in style? We'll throw a grand masquerade. We're the wealthiest couple in all of Hollywood and possess the perfect venue for such an event.
Brilliant. Our mansion shall serve as a modern-day Noah's Ark, an ideal fortress to keep the zombie heathens out while providing refuge for the Hollywood elite. We shall preserve the region's greatest comedic performers, grandest ballerinas, musicians, and handsome men and gorgeous movie stars, all the while enjoying every indulgence imaginable. Richard, my dear, you never fail to impress me. I can't wait to get my secretary on the phone and start planning.
Now, where is that blasted android?
Lackey, turn off that awful racket.
Lackey, do as she commands.
Yes, master.
And so we join the couple 1 month after the emergence of the zombie plague. As the living dead multiply beyond the moat and the walls of the largesse estate, the Hollywood elite continue to party as if the world is soon to end. The couple is taking a much-needed break from weeks of partying to enjoy the solitude on their front lawn, accompanied by Lackey and a couple of glasses of Chardonnay.
That crowd at the gate is growing quite tiresome.
I agree. Lackey, you must do something. Lackey, tell those awful peasants to leave us in peace. Very well. I shall do so myself.
Help! Help! Help us, please! You must let us in. They're here. They're going to eat us.
Shoo, shoo! Be gone with you, pesky peasants.
I've got her arm.
Pull! Pull! We've got her!
Jesus Christ! They've ripped her arm off! Lackey, you must do something!
Yes, Master.
What? What are you doing?
I am waving goodbye. Goodbye, Vanessa.
You stupid robot. Vanessa, oh dear Vanessa. Oh my dear, dear, dear Vanessa.
And with that, Mrs. Vanessa Largesse was no more. The widower, Rich Largesse, descended further into lunacy. To avoid the solace created by the loss of his late wife, Rich continued his role as host to the Hollywood elite, incriminately increasing the grandeur of his parties. Party after party. We now join several guests as they pass through the Largesse's mansion's immaculate corridors en route to the party.
What a voluptuous scene for a masquerade. These four halls are decorated in the most decadent manner. Do you think poor Richard lost his mind?
Why must you always assume the worst of people? Why can't you just enjoy the beauty of these halls? What a genius the person who's conceived this decor must be. The lighting created by the torches is simply marvelous.
These gaudy halls are just begging for debauchery and merriment. Except for the southernmost chamber. That room is just far too dreary, with its dark velvet tapestries falling heavily upon the floor's hideous black carpet. Such a drearily shrouded chamber is much cause for dread.
How curious. How delightful. How dreadful. Perhaps we shall devise some new game of pleasure with a twist of horror for this God-forbidden place. The way the torchlight shines through the blood-red window panes is ever so ghastly.
You, sir, must certainly be part ghoul to even desire partying in this macabre hall.
What a magnificent party! The eccentric Mr. Largesse has truly achieved new heights in the realms of the strange and outrageous.
His plans are bold and fiery, not to mention grotesque. With glare and glitter, he can see and phantasm.
Much of the beautiful, the wanton, the bizarre, and something of the terrible can be found within this fortress.
Sensuous, yet terrifying dreams writhe to and fro in and about the four mammoth chambers that we party within.
Notice how, upon the hour, all is still and silent, save the voice of the clock. The dreams and phantasms are frozen stiff as they stand.
Yes. Ah, thank goodness for the music. The dancing of the torchlight allows dreams to live and writhe to and fro more merrily than ever. With such frenzy and abandon, they dance.
Truly. In this crowd beats feverishly the heart of life.
In this moment of dread, the clock's chimes remind guests of their mortality. The crowd becomes alarmed by the presence of a masked female figure, slowly dredging her way towards the gathering of guests from the northern entrance of the room. As she approaches, the crowd flees to the southern corridor. Looks of dread, of terror, of horror, and disgust spread epidemically across the faces of the crowd as their eyes fall upon her.
Over there! Look! How outrageous! How disgusting!
She's revolting! Who amongst Richard's guests would have the gall to dress as Vanessa? That mask! Ugh, and the arm she's dragging!
Her movements! The jerking and halting! Will no one approach this wench to tell her to halt this revolting display?
She is indeed horrid, but I won't dare approach her.
Who among us has sunk so low as to think the living dead amusing?
Who dares?
Who dares insult me with this blasphemous mockery? Lackey, seize and unmask this wench, so we can see whom we are to dispose of come sunrise.
No, sir. Lackey fears Vanessa.
As the unidentified guest grows nearer, the rattled assembly gradually recedes ground into the cryptic southernmost corridor. Cornered in the ghoulish chamber, Mr. Largesse gathers himself to take the offense.
If all others fear to unmask you, then so be it. I alone will reveal your true identity. Vanessa? No, it can't be. Not you.
She's bitten him.
He's infected.
Run for your lives.
There was no escape. As the flames of the mansion's torches expired, the once lively Largesse mansion conceded to the darkness and decay of the Solarium virus. By sunrise, the living dead held dominion over all.